Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for helping to power up the voices. I see all the sharing out there on social media, and it's really you who are helping to amplify the stories of these incredible women and sometimes men who come on the show, and it is truly appreciated. So let's get to today's topic, which I feel like is something that's around us, never leaves us, and sometimes almost feels like it's choking us. It's change, and it's never easy. In your personal life, or especially, it's hard when you're in business or you're a business owner and it comes time to make a shift in your business model. Realization about what makes your company grow and how you shift ahead is going to make or break you. When I say shift ahead, I want to give a shout out, a big plug to Alan Adamson, who's co-author of the book Shift Ahead, and he was on Women Worldwide talking about why companies really become obsolete and are not relevant to the market because they don't shift. But entrepreneurs who embrace change and are more integrative in their thinking are the ones that create opportunity. So we're going to discuss today if it's the fast-paced change of your industry or if it's just your insight and knowledge that drives change. And I've got the perfect guest who is going to share her journey and the changes that she and her company are going through. She is a Women Worldwide alum, and it's Ginny Dietrich. She is the CEO and founder of Armin Dietrich, not just your usual marketing firm, but a digital marketing firm that offers many more alternatives than traditional marketing. Ginny's the author of Spin Sucks. She's the founder of Spin Sucks Pro, which is a professional development community for PR and marketing pros. She's a speaker on the worldwide stage. She is an award-winning blogger. She is an award-winning comms pro, and she's going to share her change, her business with you. Ginny, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
It's always good to be here. I adore you. So yay, I get to hang out with you for a little bit.
Oh, thank you. Well, I was so excited knowing that you're coming on today. And I do thank you because I know that you still have a little bit of a cold or something going on. So you know what? Really appreciate that you're here. So as a Women Worldwide alum, right? You've been here before. You're a PR digital marketing pro. Maybe you could just share what are some of those, big changes you're seeing out there in PR and marketing.
Oh, I think the biggest one right now is artificial intelligence and machine learning, and really thinking about, you know, how does that change what we're going to do with our jobs? People are kind of putting their heads in the sand a little bit and saying, well, it's not here yet and I don't have to worry about it yet. But I think we're even seeing some of that change with automation and with computers and software making our lives a little bit more efficient and a little bit easier. And I think that's one of the things we have to really be cognizant of in the next 4 or 5 years, because most of what we do can be replicated by a robot. And so we really need to think about how do we build additional income streams? How do we focus on the things that artificial intelligence cannot replace, like our creativity? And how do we embrace the robots, our robot overlords, so that we can become more efficient and actually focus on the things that we're really good at doing?
Well, you made a really good point about making sure that robots can't replicate what we do. Creativity, certainly. And it's really interesting because when Megan Harris came on the show, she's managing director of Syzygy. They had done a study, and women in the US were among the groups that were more fearful of, I guess, their jobs being taken over by AI.
Interesting.
Yes, very interesting. Women and millennials. So, you know, groups that are climbing, making their way up the ladder, certainly out there trying to do more and raise their voices. It's tough. So, yeah, I mean, I kind of think that these types of changes, I mean, I know that we also look at other ways that, you know, we're hearing new things like blockchain and fintech and right? Like all of these changes, and it kind of says, okay, so we have to change as professionals, we have to change in business, which begs the question, what do you do? You know, if you are a business owner, how do you shift your business so that you can make these changes for your clients?
You know, I think it's a couple of things. I think, I just had a conversation with somebody on my team about this earlier today, but the whole idea that you reach about your mid-30s and you have kids and you're busy, you're working, and, you know, you've got all these other responsibilities and commitments. And as human beings, we stop learning. And we just run out of time, right? I mean, it's not a priority anymore. And so I think it's partly that. And I think it's also, we have to put, you know, professional development and self-education and learning back on the priority list, because if we don't, it's going to catch up with us, especially as fast as technology is changing. And I also think that if you're a business owner, it's really about taking risk. And, you know, so many of us are afraid of risk, right? And really the only time we change is when we're forced. I mean, I can imagine a good majority of listeners had to change during the global recession because it was forced. But what if you're changing and you're taking risk and you're testing things when it's not forced and when it's not necessary? That's when you're going to find real distinction and be able to create income streams that, you know, will put you ahead of competition or will allow you to embrace artificial intelligence and machine learning and all fintech and blockchain and all these things that are coming at us without being so fearful.
Well, I think risk when you're not under pressure is definitely best, because then suddenly it is a calculated risk. You're thinking, you're more flexible. And, you know, if you don't take risks, you won't reach your goals. And I am a firm believer that all professionals need to carve out time for curiosity, exploration, and learning. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what kind of you get to choose. You know, do you want to do this once a month? Do you want to do it every day? Is it an hour every day? Is it 10 minutes? What you put into it is how you are also going to shift and morph and grow.
Right. I would say a really good example of that is masterclass.com. I got a annual subscription to it for Christmas, which has been phenomenal, by the way, because it's writing and photography and cooking. I mean, there's all sorts of different classes on there that appeal to your personal hobbies, not necessarily your work hobbies. But the reason I use that as an example is because it gets you in the habit of learning and it gets you in the habit of your own professional development. And you may certainly go, I mean, you could be like me where you go 2 months of doing it every night before you go to bed, and then you get really busy with other things and you have 6 months with nothing, and then you get back into it. So I don't necessarily know that there's just one size fits all, but it's, you know, if it's an hour every day, if it's once a month, if it's you go at it full force for 30 days and then you take a break or whatever happens to be, the point is just to get yourself into that habit so that you can persuade yourself, for lack of a better term, to make change and take risk when it's not necessary.
I like that you use the word habit, because it is just rewiring something to become muscle memory. You know, you're doing something, there's some kind of a cue, you do it, and there's a reward. And that is a habit, and you can change that. I remember, I think it was The Power of Habit, Charles Duhigg.
It is, yep.
Right, wrote a really good book. So masterclass.com. I didn't know about that. That's awesome. Oh, thanks for sharing.
It's fascinating. And Malcolm Gladwell has a new course that just launched a couple of weeks ago that I'm taking right now. And it's fascinating.
Really?
Fascinating.
That's awesome. Yeah, everybody loves Malcolm. So Ginny, change. Do you feel like that is big, scary, hairy monster or just a fun roller coaster ride that you want to put your employees through, and you guys are all just waving your arms up in the air.
Oh my gosh. I'm laughing because we actually had this conversation internally, and my team was like, wow, you're really good at creating new products and, you know, launching new things and making additional money, but man, it's stressful.
They're honest.
So yeah, I think there is something to be said for stability, of course. But I also, you know, I think that any true entrepreneur, we actually had this conversation in the Spin Sucks community, but any entrepreneur in typical fashion is somebody who sells an idea and then figures out how to deliver it. So that's change in and of itself, right?
Absolutely.
A client will say to you, I need X, or can you do X? And you think, actually, yeah, we can. I mean, we don't have process for it yet, but we can do that. And so I think there's value in that as well. But sure, there's definitely value in stability and keeping things status quo for your team, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, because you said entrepreneurs are known for their ideas, their creatives, their visionaries, but somebody has to put all the pieces together, right?
And
roll it out. So what do you think, what does your team rely on when there is change? What is it that kind of holds them together?
You know, I don't necessarily know that this is the right way, but the way I do it is when there's a new idea, we're approaching something, and we launched something pretty big in May of this year that created pretty big change internally. But when we do that, I tend to keep everybody just doing their thing, and I'm the one who does it. So I'll go forth and, you know, create the product, and we do a lot of online learning, so online teaching. So I'll create the course, and I'll do all of that myself. And then once we get the process in place, either people's roles adjust or we hire new people to help us with whatever it is that we're doing. So it just kind of depends. It gets, you know, I have a core group of people who have been with me a minimum of 6 years. And so they're kind of accustomed to that. Right. And they'll see something new and go, yeah, I want a part of this. Or, you know what? No, I'm going to keep kind of over here. And, you know, I'm going to take this off of your plate so that you can continue to do that. So I think it just depends on what it is and where people's interests lie.
Well, that's important because you want to set people up for success, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So if you're putting them in a position where they're kind of like, oh, I really don't want to work on this new product, but okay, they're not going to succeed. You know, they're damned to fail.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. We try pretty hard to do that.
So what about, was there ever a time, and I don't know if you want to share this or can share this, but have you ever just, because I know I do this a lot. I did it with my agency. I do it now with my consulting practice. Do you ever just look at your business model and say, oh my gosh, like this just isn't working. We've got to make a shift. It's not, you know, we're not making ends meet, or we could be doing more effectively something.
Yeah. In fact, this year we were about $40,000 away from having to lay everybody off and figure out, you know, how I was going to go at it on my own.
So that's really tough.
Yeah, it is tough. And we had gone into 2018 with a bang. I mean, we were like ready to roll. We had launched a new product that everybody was, I mean, we had like 1,000 people participate. It wasn't a huge money maker, but it made us some money. And we just knew that the conversion rate from that to a higher priced product was going to be inevitable. Like, I mean, you have 1,000 people, right?
Right.
Even if you only convert half, that's 500 people, right? So we just knew it. Nobody converted. Literally nobody. It was like less than 1%. So we kind of licked our chops and we're like, what, you know, what are we going to do? And I had conversations. I had a conversation with you. I had a conversation with Rebecca Iliff from AirPR, Shanali Burke, you know, people in the industry who are movers and shakers and really know what they're talking about and can kind of see the trends and figure out what's going on. And I had these conversations and it was kind of like, does the industry not pay for professional development? Is it, you know, we're trying to figure out what it was. And what it came down to was none of those things. It was just that our messaging and marketing was incorrect. Wow. Imagine that.
Oh my, you know what? Thank goodness that you step back.
Yeah, you kind of have to take a look at it and lick your chops a little bit, lick your wounds a little bit and figure out what's going on.
I think back to my agency days, investing, you know, thousands of dollars in this program that was like a light version of what we were giving clients. We had these different packages.
Yep.
And oh my gosh, we were building the trade show booth before I think we had any interest whatsoever. And at the end of the day, we thought we would see all of these people who would come in and convert to customers. And it was horrible. No one, not one did. It was painful. And after thousands of dollars and kind of looking at each other, myself and my partners, like, God, you guys are, we're all idiots. we're a branding company. We're
right,
a
right.
firm.
Yes.
Kind of feeling like, okay, we suck.
Yeah.
We made it better, you know, that
right.
we found a path forward. And it sounds like that's exactly what you did.
Well, I think it's interesting because, you know, nobody really talks about that. And it's in the startup world, it's called a pivot, right?
Yep.
But it's about, you think you're going to go one path, exactly to your point. You go down that path and you spend all this money and you do all these things and it doesn't work. And you kind of are like, well, why didn't that work? And so then you pivot, right? And you pivot to something else. And then you keep moving or changing or taking risk until you get an iteration that actually works. And I think most organizations go through that many, 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 many times, but nobody really talks about it.
Well, that's why the agile framework,
right?
Agile marketing is so good,
right?
Because you are not locked in for months and months and your planning is in sprints instead of these long marathons so that you can kind of course correct quickly. I think in the case with my agency, we probably didn't pivot soon enough. And when we did step back to look, there were warning signs.
Of course.
There were things that said, don't say this, don't print this, don't build that trade show.
Yeah.
And also the pivot point very much. And I mean, I think we can say that years of experience makes you grow as a leader. Don't double down. Don't triple down
right.
if you're going down the wrong path. You know what? Pivot. Your employees will appreciate you all that much more. When it comes to obstacles and the pivot, how do you feel like you handle that now? How do you explain that to your employees? What does that look like?
We actually use data, and I like to say it's data, not drama, because we like to, as human beings, go, oh, this isn't working and blah, 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 blah. And what, right. how do we, you know, and the data might tell a completely different story. And it's funny because you, and I certainly still get wrapped up in this. You look at it from an emotional standpoint and you think, okay, this isn't working and I can't figure out why. And it's not doing what I thought it was going to do. And then you look at the data and you go, well, wait a sec. This is actually telling us a different story. Why is it telling us this story? So I'm extraordinarily transparent with that kind of stuff with my team so that when we say, okay, this isn't working, but we know why. I mean, it's to your point, we see the red flags a lot sooner because it is about the data and what the numbers are telling us and not about how we're feeling about it emotionally.
Right. And the data doesn't lie unless you're sourcing data from some source that is not credible.
Right. The data never lies.
No. And I think that employees probably appreciate that. Do you think that, I don't know, do you think that PR professionals are becoming more comfortable with data as we feel all this change around us?
No.
Or is that a topic for another show?
Yeah, we might have to come back for that one. No, I don't. I mean, you know this, when you speak to groups of communicators, I always ask, you know, how many of you went into PR because you're not good at math? And everybody but one or two people raises their hand always. So I think there's still that fear around it. And what, you know, it's something that you communicate as well, but it's not really math. It's not like you're doing algebra or calculus or geometry or anything like that. You're reading the numbers that are telling you a story.
And you can forecast based on that.
And you can forecast and you can predict and all these things. You can show that you're an investment instead of an expense. Like there's so much value to that. But I think there's still that fear that it's numbers and that comes from the left brain and communicators tend to be right brained. And how do you mesh those two together?
Wait, did you just say profit center related to PR investment?
I did.
Well, that's all good. We are earning. We show value.
Right. Yes.
All right. Well, Ginny, I'm just going to ask you to hold your thoughts just for a moment. We're going to take a super quick break, give some love to our sponsor. And I also want to mention that Women Worldwide is on the C-Suite Radio Network. You can find all of our shows at c-suiteradio.com. And while you're there, make sure you check out all of the other great business podcasts as well.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communication and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from awareness to action and impact by offering a digital marketing roadmap. Let us help you foster deeper engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with two M's.com.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show. Ginny Dietrich and I were just chatting about being an entrepreneur, knowing when to pivot, and lots of change, certainly as business owners and in PR and marketing. So, Ginny, we talked about the business, changing business models, knowing when to pivot. We left off on data with the big aha, we can be, mm-hmm. we can show mm-hmm. our value. But you know what? We did touch upon professional development. So maybe you could just share, if you were to look back over the past 5 years, how do you think your skills and learning, like what have you really been working on?
Well, certainly my writing, you know, even 5 years ago, I read blog posts that I wrote and I'm like, whew, how did anybody share that? Wow. They did. So I'm certainly working on that as always. I think that's just a thing that, you know, is one of those things you have to do in order to get better at it.
Yes. Practice always.
Yeah, you have to. And you have to read too. You have to read a lot of different stuff.
I was just going to say that. And not just business books, like good fiction books.
Oh, fiction for sure. Yes. Yes. And in fact, have you read Educated, the memoir?
No.
Oh, so good.
Is it good?
It's a memoir, so it's nonfiction, but it's told in a way that is in a narrative that is almost like a novel. So, you know, that kind of stuff too comes into play. Autobiographies and things like that. Just because A, it helps you with your vocabulary, which makes you a better writer in general,
right.
But also it stretches your brain in different ways that allows you to become a better writer.
It's good to stretch.
So I would say that one for sure. You know, I've been working on little things to help with content like photography just from my phone, nothing exciting, but, you know, learning how to take better photos with your iPhone. Of course, always how to be a better leader, because that's always a big one. And even just how to become even a better communicator. I've been challenged this year in particular because, as they say, that when you're doing things right, you have lots of critics. And that's been very, very challenging for me because I have an innate need to be liked and I have the ego of a 12-year-old junior high school student. So it's been very challenging and it's forced me to become even more professional in my communications, in just how I respond. Because, you know, some people have very, even though they don't maybe articulate it the best way, have very valid criticism and feedback that you should take to heart. But that's been a real challenge for me. So I think even just becoming a better communicator, especially a written communicator, because you're responding to them on email or, you know, Facebook message or whatever happens to be. So it's always written. So becoming a better communicator that way to kind of just diffuse the whole situation.
Absolutely. I think one of the parts that I just heard you say that is important, we are getting so much more feedback and you yes. can do things right. And the more that you put yourself out there with your team and you all take risks together, as well as just in social communities, mm-hmm. you're going to hear a lot. I mean, I talk mm-hmm. about in my book, the gift of feedback, no matter what it is. And yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, if you're an entrepreneur and you're making your way and you're growing your business, you're going to have an ego. But we have to sort of, we talk about checking it at the door and making sure that we don't mistake what is really, it could be critical feedback, but it comes from a good place.
Right.
When I was younger in my career, critical feedback would come from a good place and I would be defensive.
Yeah. Or devastated.
Yeah. Or right. Hurt. Personally hurt.
Yeah.
Took it too much to heart. But somehow now I get all kinds of feedback and sometimes it's not pleasant, but I realize that it's from very, very passionate people and they're not out to, it's not like out to get you. It's out to make things better, to clarify, to grow. And I think that's the direction we all want to go in.
Well, and I also think that we're in a challenging time in our lives right now with social media in general. And of course, you know, all the negativity that comes out of, especially in the US, the government, and the whole idea that somebody can sit behind their computer screen and just spew out, you know, without a filter, whatever is on their brain and right. not realize that there's another human being on the other end. And being able to handle that in a professional way, I think is a real skill.
That's a modern communicator who knows how to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to talk about leadership because you said to be a better leader. We need good leaders out there. We need strong leaders. We need leaders with empathy. Today, leaders in the news certainly have been mm-hmm. taking their lumps. So what do you think are some really good qualities of leaders? What kind of leader are you?
Well, I try to be. You know, we're a virtual organization, so that comes with its own challenges. You know, having to be present in a way that would be significantly easier if you were in an office together. But I think it really comes down to listening. Active listening, really paying attention to what people are saying and finding ways to help them grow and coach them and mentor them that's specific to their strengths. Because one size does not fit all. And that's really hard to do. It's really hard to figure out what motivates somebody versus somebody else. You know, some people are motivated by a fat commission check and other people are motivated by, you know, pats on the back constantly. So you're kind of figuring out those kinds of things so that you can coach and mentor. And I think the biggest challenge for leaders is going from a manager to a leader. And it's really about going from actually rolling up your sleeves and doing the work to giving them the skills and the confidence to do it themselves.
Exactly. And also giving them the credit.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. I've been in various organizations where, you know, leaders give praise, give thanks, do not take credit. And I've been in some places where I think employees feel hurt. They feel left out. And why should they build the brand? Why should they shout about the company if some leader is taking all of the credit?
Well, yeah. I mean, nobody wants that. I wouldn't want that.
No. Definitely not. And a leader has to be strong enough to realize that when the team is winning and when you give the credit, it's because of everything that you're doing, but it's better together.
Right.
Rise together.
Absolutely.
Fall together. Pivot together.
Pivot together.
together. What about mentors? So, you know, you mentioned mentoring. I'm sure throughout your career, don't know how many years and won't date you. But let's
thank you.
Maybe talk. You're welcome. Have you had close mentors? Does it now your mentors or in the past take the form of that one-on-one where the mentor really knows you, or do you look at now as community mentoring through social media?
You know, I think throughout my career, it's always been somebody who I've worked with. For me personally, you know, somebody who sort of has taken me under their wing and helped me succeed in different ways. But I think now you're right. It comes more on the community level, especially for us, because we have such a huge, vibrant, engaged community that there's a level of professionalism and expertise and opinions of people who really care about other people. So I watch that kind of mentoring happen all day long in our community, which is phenomenal. You know, somebody had a situation the other day where her boss is giving her the cold shoulder and she can't figure out why. And so she posted, you know, in the Spin Sucks community, how do I handle this?
That means she trusted everybody in that community.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And the advice was phenomenal. I mean, stuff that I would never even think about. So I, you know, it's just stuff like that, that I think, and you certainly can build that kind of community that people really trust one another to be able to do that. It's different for sure, but it's pretty fascinating.
It is fascinating because, I mean, my first mentor at work, I was, I guess, an intern back in 1986. And he was the, I guess, senior vice president of the firm where I was working.
Yeah.
And he used to call me, it's a funny story, he used to call me Eagle Eyes Ziegler. Like I had really good eyes, and I used to proofread the media lists, and every letter that went out, it would be typed up, of course, by an intern.
Of course.
And then proofread and then handed over to the executive. But it was funny today because I was rushing with an email and I was actually responding back to our friend Ken Jacob. Shout out
oh boy.
To Ken. And I was shooting off, you know, yes, I'm available on that date. And I, you know, said, talk to you soon, and spelled my name wrong. And I thought to myself, boy, some eagle-eyed Ziegler.
Yeah, no kidding.
What would my mentor say?
If only he could see you now.
Exactly. But long story short, that was the classic example of the mentor in the organization that
yep.
I sat with, that I had lunch with,
yep.
who took me into meetings. And, you know, I would never, back then, never would have thought that I would turn to a social media community. What?
Right, right.
Just no way.
Yeah.
Jenny, we had a fax machine. We were so cool. I think it even faxed to China where it was translated. Like that was hot stuff. So, but
yeah.
Crazy. Well, I love that your community is mentoring because I think that is such a way to give back on a larger level.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, we certainly didn't set out to create a community. That was not one of our goals. And it just sort of happened organically. And then, you know, we've certainly seeded certain things and, you know, helped it grow for sure. But it kind of has taken a life of its own. And I'm really proud of it. You know, we were just talking the other day about how you can't read the comments on even industry blogs because people are so awful. And that just never happens in our community ever.
Yeah. Well, that's a great community and bravo. Kudos to you.
Oh, I'd like to take credit, but.
And your team. Of course.
And the community. I mean, they've.
And the community.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
They're awesome. Yeah.
So with everything that you're doing, I know you're working hard. I know you're speaking. I know you have your professional development community. You have your business, but you also have a family. I see the cutest pictures of, you know, your daughter, and, you know, she's just adorable and she's funny and she's like her mom. But how do you manage all of that? I'm not going to say balance. I don't even know if I want to say blend anymore. What are you doing to keep balls in the air?
It's a challenge for sure. I finally broke down and hired a nanny in March because it was...
I thought you were going to say I finally broke down and cried.
That too. I cry a lot. Well, a year ago was diagnosed with chronic daily migraines.
Oh, no.
And part of the reason is because I have so many bowels in the air and, you know, it just happened to be one too many. And my husband is doing a fellowship at the University of Kansas for this school year. And so he's gone all the time. And it was just, and finally I was like, I just need help. So I broke down and hired a nanny. That has been significant. And, you know, I always had this thought that it was going to be really expensive and people would look down on me. And I mean, it's not expensive. It's just like having a babysitter.
Exactly.
For a couple of hours a day. And, you know, she's phenomenal. She does housework. She does my laundries.
You know what? You have to know when to ask for help.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't have family in town.
Right.
So, you know, I definitely feel guilty about it sometimes, but I'm also keeping her employed while she's in college. So I feel good about that. But yeah, I mean, I think that's been the biggest thing for me because it was a real challenge to try to do it all.
Well, I mean, I'm really glad to hear that you have help and things are working out. And does that lessen the migraines, the chronic headaches?
Yeah, I'm not, I don't have them every day anymore. I have like 3 or 4 a week, which is actually really good for me. So I've learned how to manage them. You know, it's not like I'm, you know, lying in bed in the dark 3 or 4 days a week. I've definitely learned how to manage them. But
so if you have an event and it happens, because I'm sure you can't control when or mm-hmm. why, mm-hmm. is it something that you tell yourself this is just going to pass and give it an hour? Or
oh no, I drug myself up.
Oh,
oh yeah, major drugs. Wow. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you suffer from migraines, you know exactly when they're coming. And yeah, I just have a prescription that.
Oh, that's good.
I've learned to. You only get a certain amount from insurance, so I've learned to hoard.
Well, you gotta do what you have to do.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, I remember my doctor said to me, it has been literally a year. He said to me, the thing with you is you thrive under stress. And the problem with you is that right now is that you just have one too many things. So you have to figure out what one thing you can let go of so that you can continue to thrive under stress, but, you know, not get these migraines.
Right.
And I thought that was really interesting feedback. And so I was like, okay, I can let go of, you know, leaving work at 2:30 to pick her up from school every day.
Right.
Yeah, I can give that up. And it makes it easier for me because I don't have to stop my day, right?
Exactly. You're making some good changes.
Yeah.
So let's talk about at the end of the day, what does success feel like? What does success mean to you?
It's certainly changed since the little one arrived, but I think success for me is just speaking at the end of a normal day is... we always say, you know, what was the best thing that happened to you today? And her answer is almost always coming home to hang out with you.
Oh my gosh,
and that's success, so right? It's success. I mean, and certainly that will not always be her answer. I understand that. But just in the bigger, broader sense, you know, from a professional standpoint, it really is giving back to the industry and helping the industry evolve and make change and take risk and pivot. And I'm fearful that the PR industry will not exist in 10 years because marketing and advertising and search engine optimization are sort of taking over what we do really well. So if I can contribute and Spin Sucks can contribute into the industry in a way that doesn't happen, I will find success in that. And then of course, as long as she continues to say that hanging out with me is her favorite thing, then we're good.
Well, I will be working with you to make sure that PR exists.
Yes,
like I can't imagine a machine jumping in for crisis and rebuilding reputation.
No,
it's just not going to happen. I think companies need
media lists. Yes, news release development for sure. You know,
exactly.
We already see it with social media automation. We see all that,
yeah.
But. Yeah, the crisis and the reputation management and, you know, having conversations and building relationships and the creativity piece of it, those cannot be replaced.
Exactly. And I hope your daughter says that, you know, seeing you, Mom, is the best part.
I imagine when she's 13, that won't be the answer. But
I hate to tell you, but it could happen as early as 9.
Oh, great. Even better.
But they come back. They do.
True.
It might go away for a little while, but then you get close again. And you know what? We always did at the dinner table, best parts and worst parts.
Yeah.
It's great.
We do worst parts. And, you know, last school year was pretty rough. So
yeah. Oh,
we're hoping for a better school year this year.
Oh, I hope so. So Tini, what would you, here's a last question for you. What would you say to your younger self if you had the opportunity to kind of go back to that aspiring young communications professional? What would you say?
You know, I really think it would be to go back to my fragile ego and my, you know, the ego of a 12-year-old junior high school student. It really would be to build a thicker skin because I take a lot of that very personally. So it would be build a thicker skin because you're going to need it later.
Well, that's really, really good advice. All right. So where can people find out more about you, your company, Spin Sucks, the community, your books? Tell us.
SpinSucks.com.
Awesome.
Easy.
That is really easy. Thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Ah, it's my pleasure.
My goodness. I love talking PR, marketing, and most of all, change, because it's really good. And it shows that we've grown. So thank you.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
And I also want to thank all of you, my friends, for tuning into Women Worldwide. You make the show what it is today. So thanks for helping to power up the voices of women like Ginny who come on the show and share their stories and what they go through. Change every day. And if you can, please just take a moment and rate us on iTunes. We'd love to hear the feedback. Also want to mention that after Ginny's episode is published, our next episode won't be published until Friday, September 7th. And that's because we are going on holiday for the Labor Day weekend. But stay tuned. You know, we'll be back September 7th. Be looking for that show. So Ginny, thanks again. And friends, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
Thank you.